I hear the sound of your voice. All at once it's a gentle and thundering noise. Oh God, all that you are is so overwhelming.
When Pastor texted me this morning, says, you happen to have something in your back pocket. I didn't really, but as I prayed, the Lord brought a verse to mind. And I know that it's already 10 minutes after 12, just so if you're keeping track, you know. I'll move quickly through this, and I trust that the Lord will use it to touch you. Because what he laid on my heart seemed to be confirmed from everything that has happened so far this morning. From the Sunday school class, from the songs that we sang, I could sing of his love forever. And it just confirmed that this was a verse that the Lord wanted me to share from. For in 1 John chapter 2, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 24, it says, see that what you heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you will also remain in the Son and in the Father. You've heard from the beginning. Remain faithful to what you've been taught from the beginning. What was that? Well, I think most of us that were Christians, we started somewhere, depending. I grew up in a Christian home, so my first exposure to the Lord came real, real early. Before I even knew it, I was being influenced. Others, it may have been as an adult or as a teen, as a young person. But probably most of us didn't start with a doctrine of eschatology or the transubstantiation, or we didn't start with something like that. Most of us started with the fact that God is love and he loves us. And because he loves us, that makes a difference. I used to have a little cross when I was a kid. Sat on my stand next to the bed. And when I would turn the light out, when I went to bed, this cross glowed in the dark. And across the bottom was the words, God is love. It was always there every night. Every night it glowed. And it just reminded me. It was one of those subtle things. We probably grew up seeing pictures of Jesus with the kids gathered all around. And that was so important, the realization that he loved them. Grew up singing the chorus, Jesus Loves Me. When I was pastoring over there in Centerville, I had one of the ladies in the church, and during the years that I was there, her mom went from being her mom to being this lady that didn't know anybody because of Alzheimer's. And every once in a while, she would be able to bring her to church on Sunday morning. And she would sit back there, and usually about four or five rows from the back on this side, right in the middle, and she would just kind of sit there during the service with a kind of a pleasant smile on her face, and because she was with her daughter. She didn't know it was her daughter, but she was with her daughter. And there were other people around, and it was nice. And she got to get dressed up and go outside. And we would sing hymns, and we would sing choruses, and she just kind of sat there and smiled through all of that. And I made sure every time she was there that we sang the chorus, Jesus Loves Me, because I knew what would happen. Every time we got to that chorus, Jesus Loves Me, her eyes got bright, her face just lit up, and she would just sing out of all the gusto she had, Jesus Loves Me, this I know for the... Boy, Alzheimer's couldn't take that away from her. That's what she had started with as a kid. And that was still there. Most of us didn't start with theology. We started with the love of God, but love is so common. It's become kind of a take it for granted thing that we tend to skip over sometimes because of a new focus or a new religious or a new spiritual fad. And we forget the fact that love was where it began. It began there. John reminds his followers that the basics are always the basics. Doesn't change. The basics are always the basics. They are always what we build the rest of it on. And it's so basic that it's found throughout the New Testament. Jesus began when he taught his disciples, and he said, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another." Pretty basic, isn't it? That's where it all begins. That's where it all works. And so it's clearly God that he thinks, he believes, he directs, he commands that loving is mandatory. It's not really a choice. It's kind of the earthly counterpart of God loving us. We love in return. And so we are to love. We're to love consistently and continually and unconditionally and completely and specifically, not playing favorites as we love. It's easy to love those who love us. You know, some people, you know what I'm talking about. There's some people who love you, and it's really, really easy to love them back. There's other people that are not quite as lovable. Oh, you know one of them too, huh? Yeah, you know, they're not quite as lovable. They're a little tougher. But it doesn't, the Bible doesn't give us the right to say, "Oh, forget it," you know. He says, continue to love. Continue to do what you're called to do. It doesn't even say, just love those who love you first. It's much easier to love in return than it is to initiate that love. But it's a calling that we have. I'm struck by the correlation of John 3:16 and 1 John 3:16. John 3:16 says, and you know it, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. 1 John 3:16 says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Wow. I mean, the verses are even the same, chapter and verse. You know, John was pretty consistent when he wrote about this. John 3:16 was a demonstration of God's love. 1 John 3:16 is an explanation of how we're supposed to implement it in the world around us. John 3:16, God gave his Son. 1 John 3:16, we're instructed to give ourselves. It's just the way it is. But John's instructions raises a question. Give up ourselves. Lay down our lives, another translation says. There are some places in the world right now where if you choose to follow Jesus Christ, you are at risk of laying down your life because you name the name of Jesus Christ. Fortunately, we are not in that situation where we live. We are not subject to being killed because we name the name of Jesus Christ. I sometimes wonder maybe if we were a little more challenged that it might matter a little bit more to us, but it comes so easy. Actually, most of our brothers or sisters in Christ and those we're trying to reach, they don't really need us to die for them. They don't need us to lay down our lives for them. Warren Wiersbe, in one of his books, he said, self-preservation is the first law of physical life, but self-sacrifice is the first law of spiritual life. I mean, as a human being, it's the most natural thing for me to try to keep on living. Spiritually, I am asked to set that aside. So if we're called to self-sacrifice, but dying for a brother or sister or for someone we're trying to reach out to is not really the standard, then what does that mean? What is it we're being called to? I would die for you sounds so noble. You know, we might say that. We might hear somebody say, it really sounds noble, but it's kind of empty. I had a friend in Goldendale. His name was Tom. Tom loved to fish. Tom fished as often as the sun came up. He just fished, you know. He loved fishing. I loved Tom because I really enjoyed it too. And so he was my fishing buddy. Still haven't found one over here. I'm advertising now for one. I'll just throw that out there. But Tom got sick. It wasn't just sick. He got sick. I remember sitting in his living room on a beautiful sunny day when we would have been out in this boat on the river, and Tom was sitting there wrapped up in a blanket just shaking. He was sick. Been to the doctors. They couldn't figure it out. There's nothing made any sense. None of the symptoms fit anything. I sat there in the living room with Tom, and we talked, and I prayed. And I made that kind of a statement. I said, Tom, I wish I could take your sickness on me. So it was me, and you didn't have to. Unfortunately, within the week, I was sicker than a dog. And the amazing part of that was that miraculously, Tom was fine. Now, I can't explain all of that, but all I know is that Tom, he knew about Jesus. We had talked about it, but Tom had never made a commitment of his life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And so when I was sick and Tom was well, Tom said, Ken, I don't know exactly how you pulled that off. But he said, I just know that you were serious when you said that, even though you really didn't expect to get sick. And he says, and I'm not sure whether you really expected me to get well that quickly. But he said, I want the Jesus Christ that made you willing. And we prayed, and Tom accepted Jesus into his life as the Lord and Savior. And we still went fishing every chance we got. But it was different. You see, the people that we're trying to ask are not going to ask us to die for them, but they might ask for some other things. They might say, can you help me move some stuff because I can't do it alone? Can you help me? Well, we could say, yeah, I love you, man. I'll be glad to. Maybe they say, I need a place to stay. Something's come up, and I can't explain it all right, but I need a place to stay. Maybe somebody's going to say, I really need some help with my electric bill, or I need somebody to help me get some firewood in for winter. You know, they don't need us to die for them. Sometimes they just need us to be there to help them in ways that show that we care enough to inconvenience ourselves, to set ourselves aside in favor of them. And our brothers and our sisters in Christ may be saying the same thing in a different way. Our brothers and sisters in Christ may be saying, I don't need you to die, but if I'm not there on a Sunday, I really need to know that I matter enough that you miss me. We got a church directory. It's got names and pictures, and I know we got new people. And one of the things that I want to do as an elder is I want to keep new names coming for this. But we can take that directory that we have sitting there at home, and we can look in that directory, and we can get an address, and we can say, I'm just going to write a little note to that person and tell them I missed them on Sunday, or I'm going to call them and tell them I missed them on Sunday, because they matter. That might be all they're asking for. Maybe they're saying, will you accept me when I don't express myself in the same way that you do when we're worshiping? I know, you stand or you raise your hand, and I just sit there, but I'm worshiping too. Accept me where I am. Or maybe they're saying, because I don't act or talk or something the way you do, will you still accept me and love me? See, here's how John says it. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 18 and 19, he said, "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. And this is how we know we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence." See, when we do it here, it happens there. And John wrote these words to the church. I'm sure that he was remembering Jesus' words. I read part of them from John chapter 13, where he said, "A new commandment I give you, to love one another." But then verse 34 says this, by this, what's he talking about? By our impeccable understanding of the doctrine of heaven, or the doctrine of hell, or the doctrine of transubstantiation, or whatever that. No, he says, by this, meaning the love, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. By this. That's how we'll know. Not about how spiritual we are, or how, you know, how big a Bible we have, or whether or not it's all worn out, or whether or not Here's the focus of what I want to say this morning. If we don't remain faithful to what we heard from the beginnings, loving consistently, continually, sometimes even creatively, completely, unconditionally, specifically, both our brothers and our sisters in the Lord, and as well as those we're trying to reach for the Lord, and if we don't put it into active daily practice, okay? Active daily, let me say that again. If we don't put it into active daily practice, then the world has a right to look at us and say, "I don't know. I'm not sure that they're really what they claim to be." See, we discount our entire witness to our brothers and our sisters, as well as the watching world. And trust me, they're watching. The world's watching us, folks. They're watching. They see all kinds of people on TV that are claiming the name of Jesus Christ, and they may not really represent Him all that well. So they're watching us. So this week, I want you to look for creative ways to love, and don't neglect the expected ways to love. Love those in our fellowship. Reach out to them. Those who are missing this morning, before you leave, be sure you look around. Realize who's missing. Get a hold of them. Let them know they mattered. To those who are members of the greater family of God that might be in another church, praise God for that. Praise God they're in church. Pray that their church preaches the same word that pastor does. Those we're trying to reach for the poor. And know that as we are true to what we heard from the beginning, God will honor our obedience. Join me as I pray. Father, as we close this morning, seems like the whole service has been about love. I could sing of His love forever, we sang. We listened, Lord, as Elsie talked about reaching out to those around her and loving. We listened as Joe prayed for each of those prayer requests as they came up. It was all a matter of reaching out in love and touching You for them. I pray, Lord, that we would do that, and that we would remember what we learned from the beginning and communicate that to those around us. In Your name, amen. Amen.